Hi there, everybody. This is Dr. Don Cowan, and I'm coming to you from South Central Washington State. And what we do on this program, sometimes we talk about other things, but primarily about the Bible, particularly probably 90% when we're talking about the Bible, the New Testament. And we often like to see what Jesus has said, but we are in, most of our time actually has been in that. And but we are in Romans, which is about one-third the way through the New Testament. And it's right after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so that's where we're going, and we're going to digress a little bit and then try to go fairly fast forward, because there's a major all theme in the last part of this book of Romans. And that book, so many people stop maybe at the first chapter or two, and they don't realize all the good stuff in there. There's quite a few different types of material. There's great material on the grace of God. There's great material on the, as far as His love for us, and then a lot is in there on the faith, and we've covered that a few times on faith. But there, you look towards the back end of the Bible, I mean the book of Romans, and beginning in the latter part of chapter 12, and we see, for the most part, there's a great theme of law. And, I mean, as far as talks about the law of liberty and the law of love. And we've heard about the law of faith, and they're quite in contrast, but yet at the initial looking of compared to all these laws in the Old Testament. And but yet, in one way, they're the fulfillment of those also. So we want to go back quickly to chapter 12. What we're going to look at from there to the end, we're going to cover fairly quickly. And what we're going to be looking at, verse 9 of chapter 12, thereon, its basic theme here is behaving like a Christian. Well, that would be nice for Christians to do. It'd be nice for everybody else to do, too. And it starts out, let me go ahead and start out reading there. If you have your Bibles, I'd appreciate you getting them. And it might be a different version that I have. It's a new King James, and but it's going to be chapter 12, verse 9. And it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good." So there's one thing I wanted to point out here, is that when we're talking about God and us, abhorring what is evil, well, that's basically hating what is evil. But it's not hating the people that might perpetuate it, our command. And He, God Almighty, still loves every person there is. And as far as His love goes out and tells basically us also to we have to be able in our dealing with people is to love the people regardless of what they've done against us or to other people. Now, we may truly hate it, and it tells us to hate. I mean, if I know, in one case, in various cases, somebody that was very close to me would often be with people, and he would step right in the way and defend people And he didn't particularly know them or like them, but just that it was very obvious that the other person was totally mistreating them. And so, but he grew up with this matter of what is right and what is wrong. Now, it wasn't against the other people, but it was in the defense of those that were left defenseless, that had been bullied and bullied and bullied, and not anybody standing up for them. So this is what we are called to do, to love, let love be without hypocrisy, and abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. So you can actually care for and love somebody and hate what they're doing. And it's we have to remember to be able to not mesh the two together, in that the being the person plus the what they have done that may have been exceedingly evil, and be able to separate that, and because that's what God does too. And the things like Paul himself, who wrote this, he had gone out and was perpetuating this persecution of the Christians, the killing of Christians, jailing of hundreds, perhaps thousands of Christians, and yet it would be easy for the Christians to definitely hate certainly what a person is doing. But yet, because of the words of Jesus, if they remembered the words of Jesus, to love them. Okay, let's go on. Verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and with those who weep, also weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. It is possible, as much as depends on you, life, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head." Which that sounds like, depending on your understanding of the background of that, that would sound terrible. Well, just burn him. But that's not the intention. Heaping coals upon somebody's head, you have something there, and you put the coals up there. Therefore, he can transfer fire and be able to start his own fire, to be able to cook his own meal. And so you're serving him. It's just like it says to feed the hungry. Feed him. It says if he is thirsty, give him a drink. And then also, it's if he's without fire, give him part of the coals from your fire, that he might start a fire and be warmed by it. Let every soul, this is chapter 1 of verse 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Now, we're going to skip over this because we've covered this in the last week or two, but what is here is that all this is be says behave like a Christian. As far as the last several verses we just read, it talks about blessing those and your love being without hypocrisy, of loving the people, but you can you're supposed to hate the sin that they might be in, but not drawing away from them because of it, unless God says to, and that you show them the grace and the love of God. And so this is the background that we're beginning to get in for the rest of Romans, is this as far as how to live like a Christian. And the other portions were dealing with it more with faith and as far as the grace of God, which were two of the very big places in this. And before that was really Paul dealing with people that were, as far as himself, he was dealing with himself, writing about that, as far as he didn't like what he saw in himself. And then he went through the, as far as how the grace of God moved into his life, and how the faith in God, and together with God's grace and mercy, completely changed him and can change anybody. And of course, once again, that's from a position that he was, as he said of himself, the greatest of sinners, for all the persecution he had done towards the Christians in the earlier part of his life. Well, here, in this part here, we see the caring for people, and also in the government that we're going to skip over, that we've already covered before. We look to the government that we want to obey, as far as for a just government, that we are supposed to look for God, to God, because we've made the notation that the Roman government, even though it may have been very corrupt at its highest level, that in Rome in particular, that it established law and order, and it took away the vast majority of dangers for travel and for anybody even being out of their city by night. And so the Romans law, Pax Romana, as far as was a great benefit for everybody in being able to move about the kingdom that they never had before. Okay. Well, that continues down on down to chapter 13, verse 8. And so we've skipped over that. And this, it says, this is entering into, once again, the obvious theme through this last part, about love your neighbor. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another fulfills the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not murder, and you shall not steal, and you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandments, it is the same, are all summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So all those shall not, it's just a matter of loving your neighbor. And you wouldn't have to deal with any of those shall nots, as long as you're loving your neighbor, that those are all being fulfilled. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Okay, here's another little section here in the latter part of chapter 13 of Romans, and it's very critical for all of us to, when we think of loving our neighbor, okay, well, what do we have to do? What's this section think on this? It's on really putting on Christ. So you, in other places, he mentions this put on, like you have become a new creation when you've accepted God. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So in those places that you put on the new man, take off the old man, and you put on the new man. Well, here it's dealing with putting on Christ himself. And do, and verse 11 here in chapter 13, it says, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus, and make no provision for its lust. So, we know that our own bodies and our own desires that we can figure up in our mind, sometimes we can see here it says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Well, how do we do that? It says, by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we look at all these things, applications here. There's many things that are being said, and they're seemingly all different, but they all come back to one basic theme, and that is you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and that you put on Christ. And in other words, you don't, is that not being the same person that you used to be, that you are now putting on that new man, which is in Christ Jesus in our lives. And the result is people on the outside can see a big, big difference in you, because all the circumstances that you used to handle in certain ways, now you're handling in a completely different way. So look at chapter 14. And this is dealing with the law of liberty, and we may skip over part of this as well. Last part is dealing more with love. But in liberty is saying that you do have liberty now in Christ, that he's dealing with every man according to the word of God, but then also there's two types of word of God. One is the written word of God, and another is the rhema word of God. So the first is logos, from the reading it right off the pages of your Bible, and the other is rhema, which is a spiritual word from God. Now God may well, from time to time, speak to you in a direct way, or that as you draw closer to him, that you will hear him saying, this is the way, walk in it. And one of the things is how we judge that is that be sure that it agrees with the logos. And as far as direction or various other things, and so even though he gives you freedom and liberty to do many things, and as far as you have to remember that your love is not an hypocrisy, or that you're using your love in a way that in freedom that you know you have in Christ, that you go ahead. Sometimes you need to keep it private, such as we've read before in last a week or two was that we saw that this law of liberty could allow certain people were very much caught up about worshiping or fasting or whatever on certain days of the week or certain days of the month or certain time based on the full moon or the new moon, usually based on the new moon as far as when certain times arose. And so, and other people, and they were, each one's were, one was, day was holy to one day was holy to the other. But the thing is, it was unto to God. And so, it's okay. But not if this, as far as the weakness of your brother. If the weakness of your brother or sister, you don't flaunt something in their face, because it could easily offend them. And it's not a case of their immaturity and they need to grow up. No, it's a matter of that's what God has spoken to them. And there's when just as somebody that had come out of years of drinking alcohol, you and God had told him to not touch it again. Well, that doesn't mean that everybody else is strictly prohibited. Certainly, we're all prohibited from taking in excess and becoming drunk. That's clear from Scripture. But some, it may cause a problem just because that's where they had been freed from, and they felt that God told them that they should never do it again. And so we want to highly observe our brother or sister, because that was the place where God intervened in their life and set them free. And so we want to honor that. What does that mean? That you love them. If you flaunt what you want, then you don't really love them. And so we, in those cases, we're not being obedient. It's just like one's eats meat and one's a vegetarian. And if one, you know, is as far as his heart is, if for some reason is just offended by other people eating meat, then there's a problem there, and you need to make way for the other person. There was more of a reason for that back then, and that reason was that many times meat had first been sacrificed to idols. And it's made clear in Scripture not to, for conscience sake, not to ask if this has been offered to idols. And as long as you don't ask, then you're free. But if you ask, and then you're not supposed to go ahead and partake in it, because you're not supposed to partake. Even you see, the power of Christ is greater than the power of any demons, but you don't want the knowledge of that, so that may offend others. So you want to be careful always. This is though a love of God flowing throughout the last part of Romans here, is that it's putting it down to practical on the road level. And so it talks just like at the beginning about different ways to be affectionate towards one another with brotherly love. And it talks about being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, even to the hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. So earlier we had touched on some of that. So now, as we continue on through here, we see this again, but in a different channel. And we're going to jump ahead here to chapter 14, verse 14. And but we need to remember that this is the as far as love in your heart, that if the grace of God, if God's Son has come in, if you asked him in, that the grace of God is there for you, that life may abound in you, and your life may overflow, and that others might be blessed and encouraged and built up. So it's the remember not to go about any way condemning, but you want to be a blessing. You want to be blessed. You say, God, bless me, Lord. Well, he expects the same, because his Holy Spirit he gave to you that you might be a blessing, and that you might exalt the name of Jesus. So, once again, Romans, we're jumping ahead to chapter 14, 14. It says, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing clean of itself, but to him who is considers another to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make peace and the things which make which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor to do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. In verse 22 it says, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what is approved, he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. So we see this in other places in Scripture about faith, several places, that it's impossible to please God without faith. Well, my goodness, this is coming there clear down to real practical things about eating. If you believe, at least for perhaps a time or forever, that certain things you're not supposed to eat, and you go ahead and eat them, then, of course, that is sin to you, because you couldn't eat it in faith. You ate it, and you knew that you weren't supposed to eat that, because that wasn't a part of what God had allowed you to eat right then at that time. Now, he may have allowed you to eat that maybe a month earlier, or maybe in 2 or 3 months, but perhaps it's a specific time. I think of perhaps the Roman Catholics and the other Catholics, that they have a time of Lent, and they have a time when they perhaps sacrifice something, and it may be food or something else that they do. For some people, it's turning off the TV for 6 weeks, and for others, it may be not to eat certain, maybe not eating meat except for fish or something else. And so according to you, that if you believe that, or you have dedicated yourself to do that. So it may not be a matter of belief that is wrong, but that you wanted to do something as far as your own life and as far as your love for God, that you wanted to be more aware of Him and more desirous of Him and set your heart more toward Him. Therefore, you do that in love of God, and therefore, you wouldn't want to do it on purpose, or because it would be something that would be against your faith. And as I said, the faith might be for a time, for just a few days or a lifetime, that God said, don't do something. And so we need to make tolerances as far as for each other, is that we don't make fun of or try to get somebody else to do something when they're not supposed to, or think that they are weak or something like that, when actually it may be what makes them very strong in the Lord. So we need to have a heart like that. As I said, this last part is dealing with love. Okay, chapter 15 of Romans. We're getting near the end. Actually, this is perhaps the last main chapter, and the last one, it deals more with individuals that Paul worked with and fell in love with, as far as people that were part of he knew from that church, or even though he had not been there at the time, but there were many people in the Roman church that he knew from other churches that had been to other churches when he was there. So chapter 15, verse 1, we then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. So our business is all about dealing with our neighbors, those who we are in contact with, and trying to please them for their good and leading to edification or building up or exhortation, strengthening our neighbors. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. In other words, it says here again, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So the as far as the reproaches or swearing at God fell as far as on me, describing Jesus, this is describing Jesus himself, and those sinful things fell on him when he was on the cross. Remember, he was the substitute. He became, it says in the Word of God, that he became sin, that we might be receive and are counted the righteousness of God. Well, we can't come before God without righteousness, so we better find a way. Well, we can't find a way except that Jesus and God the Father made a way for us. And because he made the way for us, then we no longer have that big wall separating us between us and God. Now, if you haven't done that before, that there's still that wall of separation because of the sin in your life, and we all have sin in our life, but as far as breaking that wide open so that it's forgiven and then taken away and then establishing a relationship with the Creator of everything, well, I'd certainly look into that right now if you haven't. And I just want to just explain a simple way to receive the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit into your life. You know, there's really only two type of people. There's fantastic people that are saved and fantastic people that are not saved. Then there are people getting into all sorts of trouble that are saved and some that are not saved. So those that are saved are ones that quite often they have just gotten saved and something's happening to them. They're being transformed. It's your relationship. You're being saved can happen instantly, but being transformed, the Bible says clearly, don't be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so that takes a while. So even though all of a sudden now you got a relationship with Almighty God of the universe, is that to walk and grow in Him, then it takes us being transformed by the renewing of our mind. That doesn't take place instantly. That takes place as you read the Word of God, sing to Him, praise His name. Okay. So it says here, once again, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. And I was talking, I was talking to you about the two type of people, just those who are saved and not saved. And if you can't honestly say that you're saved, then I just ask you to do a very simple thing. Just repeat after me a few words that loud enough so you can hear yourself as you say these. And that is, just go ahead and repeat after me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. You know, when we read this, it's real simple. But the question is, where's Jesus right now? We came to the Father, God Almighty, and we come to Him and ask Him to forgive us of our sins. And then we ask His Son that He sent here to take away our sins, and said for us to speak out and say, Jesus, come into my heart. And then it's like the Holy Spirit, according to the Word of God, there's Jesus in me, but then there's also the Holy Spirit with me to change me from glory to glory into the image of Jesus, into the image of God. And what does He have to say to us? He says, make me the kind of person that you want me to be. That's what we are to say. And why is that? That's so that we become more and more like our Creator. And that is His purpose as far as the Holy Spirit, is to glorify Jesus, who glorifies the Father. And so also mankind, all of mankind, that's the purpose, is having Jesus in them right now and allowing God Almighty of the universe to go ahead and make me, make you the kind of person that God Almighty wants us to be. And then we just need to be thankful for Him saving us. Amen. Well, if you just believe that, spoke that, then you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And now we get to go on and we'll continue and hopefully finish up most of the rest of this book of Romans. So we were talking here in the very first part of chapter 15. It said, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and the comfort and the scriptures might have hope. Now may God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice the unity here. It says with one mind and one mouth. So we're joining the unity of mind and mouth. It's also enjoying the heart too, because it declares that in the Word of God that we actually speak out of our hearts. Sometimes we don't realize sometimes what we speak, or we'd say, "Oh, that's not in my heart," but actually it is. And it may be a small amount of your heart, but it's still there. And so we want to be of one mind and one mouth to glorify God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ in all things. Glorify God together. Verse 7. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to conform the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and not who shall arise, and he who shall rise over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles hope. Well, this little section is here is saying that Christ is for both really the Jews, and then mentioning several times to the Gentiles, because he's writing this to the Roman church. There's probably certainly there were some Jewish Christians up there, but in much of the area they were a Gentile. Basically, when it says Gentile, that includes everybody except those who are Jews. Now, verse 13, it says, how may the God of hope fill you with all joy? So this is now, may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is a blessing to them, but it's also an open prayer. So this, we know that this is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that it's not the words of just Paul, that these are the words of the Holy Spirit that he spoke through Paul. And so we know this is the Word of God. So what does it say about us again? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is calling us to hope, to joy and peace in believing. And there is great peace in believing God, because you have assurances there with God. That's not like the mere promises of man, or something like that, that is feeble and doesn't last. But this is the promises of God. And that it declares that you abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 14 of chapter 15, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you, because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. I would, and indeed, to make Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonder by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, and so have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's solution or foundation, but as is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see it, and those who have not heard shall understand. So here he is, and for early on, he preached to the Jews. And that was, of course, over towards Israel and Syria. But then he moved up into Turkey, which was Asia Minor there, and he established several churches there and went on. And getting over to where he is, this is actually, he's most likely writing this from Corinth, which is probably one of the most corrupt cities there was in the empire, mainly because it was a place where people, it was for sailors, because much of the year they could not go around that horn down there below Corinth because of the great, as far as winds and tempest and great just lousy weather, where thousands in perhaps 100 years would lose their boats and their lives. And but right there where Corinth is, it's a very narrow, it's only like I think 15 to 19 miles across the land. And they would push their boats out, get them on the land, and they actually had a whole set of logs, and many of them had grease that they would put on those logs, and they had put their boat on top, and so for almost 20 miles they had those and had a nice rut there between the dirt on various sides to help guide those boats and ships from one side to the other side, and were able to go across there. Well, so it was a place of sailors. They would then stop at Corinth, and it was a sailor's haven, and a great deal of corruption as far as just in the flesh and the desires that come with that, and the very pagan society with worshiping of false gods and the gods of the various sailors. So let's continue, and hopefully we'll get done with at least get done with chapter 15 here. For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. This is he's talking to the Romans now. This is Romans chapter 15:22. But now no longer have a place in these parts, and having the great desire these many years to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I enjoy your company for a while. So they want us, he's saying that I want to come to you, enjoy your company for a while before I go on to Spain. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to those in material things. Therefore, when I perform this and have sealed it to them, this fruit, I shall go by way to you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brethren, though the Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea, and who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be the refreshed together with you. Now the Lord God of peace be with you all. Amen. So we see this call out throughout this last few chapters here of Romans is there that's all underlying with love. And then the last chapter is dealing so much about just his friends and that he knows that even though he had never come to Rome, he had met them in other places along his journeys. And so it is dealt with love once again, and then a final blessing. But we don't have time to get there today. And next time we'll start up someplace new, most likely, after maybe just touching on this last little bit of Romans. But we see throughout all this last part, this underlying love and making it practical for people to live a life of love. And what does it mean to love? And applications as far as we don't want to cause offense to other people, that we want to bless them. Also, those are people that we may like, but also he's saying to bless and don't curse those that are enemies of us, that hate us. But he says to bless and do not curse them. So it's coming, all this comes together with this underlying matter of love that draws everybody together in the Word of God. So it's going right back to the, as far as the scriptures from Jesus Christ, as far as loving each other. And that's how a people will know that we are Christians, is by our love. And so here we stand at the end of this reading and just say, thank you, Lord. We ask you in Jesus' name to make us who you want us to be. And we know that part of it is to love one another and to do things for one another and putting others before ourselves. And we ask for the grace of God to enter into us that we might be able to do that, and then not only able, but that we do that for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from South Central Washington State. The blossoms, apple blossoms, we saw full bloom just about 2 days ago on the apples. And So it's lots of the trees are beginning to shed their blossoms, and but the smell is fantastic. It's just being outside is just all the smell of all the apple trees, and then even various flowers in the garden is great. God bless you. Have a great week. We love you. Hope to be with you again next week. Bye-bye.